Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen. Amen. Draw me near to the cross. May that be our daily prayer every single week. Draw me near to the cross, O Lord. This morning, as we begin our new sermon series on prayer and begin to see that we hope to be a church that is devoted to prayer. If you have your copies of God's Word, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. We're going to begin looking at the passage of Scripture where Jesus teaches us about prayer, where Jesus teaches us what prayer is and how we should pray. And while we're not going to talk about everything here today, we'll talk more about it next week. We're going to begin this passage today. And so beginning in verse 5, Jesus says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is the word of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you now, Lord, and we're so grateful for the word that you've given us, Lord. We're so grateful for the instructions on prayer. God, just today as we come to this passage and we begin to learn about prayer and we begin to see the necessity of prayer in our lives, God, I pray that you will convict us all and that you will lead us to draw nearer to you, Lord, in prayer. God, we pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. It is hard to pray. It's hard to pray. I read this in the foreword of a book this past week, and as I began to think of it, I was like, that is true. I bet most of us would agree that it is hard to pray. We live in a time where we are constantly busy, constantly consuming, and rarely ever do we just take time to be still, to sit in quiet, to sit alone by ourselves. Our lives are constantly going and going and going. We wake up and we get dressed and we go, go, go. And then we come back home and we eat and we sit down for a moment and then we fall asleep. Maybe you read a book. Maybe you watch TV. Maybe you do some chores. Maybe you grab your phone in that time and you scroll for a time. And then you go to bed. Our day is over. We haven't prayed one single time. I'm guilty of this, and I'm certain there are some of you that are guilty of this as well. Because this just happens. The whole day just goes by, and we haven't taken a moment to pray. Why? Because it's hard to pray. It's hard to pray when you wake up and your mind is already thinking about everything you have to do today, right? It's hard to pray when you think about, I've got to get dressed. I don't got time to pray. I've got chores to do. I don't got a moment or time to sit down and pray. I got a job to go do or to get to. I don't think I have time to pray. And then if we even try to pray, we start to pray and we say, Dear God, I come to you in this moment with gratitude for the salvation I have. I'm so thankful for my family. I wonder what my kids are doing today. I bet my grandkids are having a good time with those toys they got for Christmas. Oh, I'm kind of hungry. A cheeseburger sounds pretty good right now. Right? Oh, I got to go to the grocery store. I got to get some milk. Oh no, I forgot to get milk today when I went to the grocery store. Our mind just becomes so infiltrated with everything that's going around us, and our mind just gets so distracted. I don't know about you, but I often find myself praying like this. Distracted. My mind constantly racing and never slowing down, thinking about anything else and everything else that's going on around me, instead of just simply praying. Or when we do pray, we find ourselves saying the same things about the same things every single time. It's just one big repetition of saying the same thing about the same thing over and over and over, and repetition becomes boring so much that we don't what? Pray. It's hard to pray. You were in Sunday school, the teacher just prayed this phenomenal prayer. You're at the worship service and the pastor just prayed a splendid prayer. And here you are trying to pray and all you can think about is how second rate your prayer is. I can't pray like that Sunday school teacher. I can't pray like the pastor. What's the point in praying anyway? Right? Doesn't God already know everything? Doesn't God already know what I need, what I want, all this other stuff? Church, praying is hard work. It's hard to make time to pray. It's hard to free your mind from the endless thoughts to pray and just talk to the Lord. It's hard not to compare our prayers to others and to think that our prayers are less than. But praying is something that transcends the whole entire Bible. It's something that is expected of the Christian. In Genesis 4, as we just read, Cain killed Abel, and then in verse 26, at that time, the people called upon the name of the Lord. And then you just continue going throughout the whole Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Moses, Hannah, Samuel, David, Solomon, and many more that I have not listed here. And then you get to the New Testament and Zechariah prayed for a son. His wife conceived and bore John the Baptist. And then Mary is being told by the angel that she will give birth to the Son of God, Jesus. And what does she do? She prays. She magnifies the Lord. And here's the best one, church. All those people prayed, and none of them were Jesus. But then Jesus is here, and what does He do? He prays. The Son of God. The one who rules over all things. Who's sovereign over everything. Who knows all things. The one who doesn't have to pray. You know what He does? He prays. And not just one time. He prays multiple times throughout the Gospels that we see. You go to the epistles and you get to the letters and you see Paul pray and you see several other instructions on prayer given by Paul and Peter and James. And lastly, church, you get to the book of Revelation and you read the whole thing and you get to chapter 22, verse 20, and it ends with a prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Prayer saturates this whole book. This book begins and ends with prayer. I would wager to say that prayer is important in the life of the Christian. I read a quote this week, and only the Lord knows who said it. But it said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Just as breathing is necessary for us to live, prayer is necessary to the Christian. It is something that we must do. We must be a people of prayer. We must be a people devoted to prayer. We must be a people that are persistent in praying as often as we can. In every gathering of the church, praying must be of utmost importance. I read another little quote this week from a book that said, there should be so much prayer in the church that the non-Christian gets bored. Just over 3 years ago, in January of 2023, this church made a commitment to church revitalization. A commitment to being renewed. A commitment to being changed for the glory of God and His gospel. A commitment to spiritual growth and being a healthy church. And church, if we are to be a renewed church, if we are to be a revitalized church, if we are to be a people growing in our faith, we must be a people devoted to prayer. We must be devoted to praying for ourselves, praying for our fellow members in the church, praying for this church to give glory to God and do what He has called us to do. Praying for the community that surrounds us and praying for open doors and open hearts to hear and receive the gospel. And when we go and share the gospel with them, and praying that we will be bold in sharing the gospel with them. Did you know that in the Bible there is never a time in which the lost are prayed for? Lord, we pray for the lost today. We pray that they will know You. It's always a prayer for God's people to go to the lost and to be bold in sharing the gospel with them. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for the lost and we shouldn't pray for open doors and open hearts and open eyes and open minds to be able to see, hear, and understand the gospel. But sometimes I think we pray for the lost more than we pray for ourselves, and we should be praying for ourselves to be bold in sharing the gospel. Because that's what the Bible calls us to. I'm reminded of a pattern that we see in the early church, especially in the book of Acts. The disciples are in the upper room. We read in chapter 1, verse 14, all these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer. And then you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. Paul gives instructions in Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And then you read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Church, we are to be a people who are devoted to prayer. And I believe that if we as a church and as individuals will devote ourselves to the hard work of praying, the Lord will move in your life, the Lord will move in this church, and the Lord will move in this community. And this church will be renewed and revitalized and will be fully existing for His glory and His kingdom. That we will be a people who are growing in spiritual health. But if we are to be a church that is devoted to prayer, then this means that we must know things about prayer. We must know several things about prayer, what it means to pray, how to pray, who do we pray to, so many questions that one can have about prayer. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to answer every single one of them. I've got probably 5 or 6 books on prayer in my office, and I've bought a couple more here recently. And you know what? None of them fully do. None of them fully tackle the subject of prayer. And I think if you put them all together, I still don't think you could fully capture the subject of prayer. So I don't believe that we can comprehensively answer every single question about prayer in this sermon series, but my hope is that we will become a church that is devoted to prayer in our individual lives and as a church. As we read just a few moments ago, today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 specifically, and we're going to see three instructions on prayer. Three instructions from Jesus about prayer. And the first instruction that we see is that prayer is expected. Prayer is expected of the Christian. I would wager to say that every single one of us here has a job or have held a job at some point in the past. And one of the things that your boss expects of you every single day that you have to go to work is for you to do one thing. And that is to at least do what? Show up, right? Your boss is expecting you every single day that you have to work to show up. That you get out of bed, you get dressed, and you show up ready to work. In the same way that it was or is expected for us to do that, it's expected of us to pray. Jesus is already assuming here. He's already expecting here that disciples are praying. Listen to what he says in verse 7 or verse 5, 6, 7, and 9. He goes on and he says, "And when you pray," pray like this, and then he goes on, "but when you pray," in verse 6, and then you get to verse 7, "and when you pray," and then you get to verse 9, right before he gives the Lord's Prayer, and he says, "pray then like this." Praying was to be a daily part of their lives. The disciples' lives, it was already to be a habit that was built into their life and what they were doing. And church, the same is true for us. The same is true for us. If prayer is expected of us, and if we are to be a people devoted to prayer, then this means that we have to make prayer a daily habit of our lives, a daily routine of our lives. If we want to experience daily graces from the Lord, one way that we can do that is we need to pray. And when I say a daily habit, I don't mean just praying before meals, right? How often do you just pray before your meal and you think, "I prayed before my meal today, I think I'm good"? No, I don't think that's what Jesus is teaching us here. I think Jesus is simply teaching us, whether it be but when you wake up in the morning, right before you go to bed, whether it be in the middle of the day sometime, Jesus is teaching to have a time to pray. Making a time out of your day a daily thing. And even when you find it hard to pray, when you don't feel like you have anything to say or want to say anything, just take a moment and be intentional to sit there in silence, listening for the Lord to speak to you. Sit there in silence, just waiting for the Lord to give you the words to pray by the Holy Spirit. Just wait. Just take the moment. And then when your mind gets distracted as you're praying and you begin thinking about what is ahead in your day or whatever else is going on, you get lost in your minds, to steer your mind back to prayer. And just keep going. And just keep praying. And eventually, at least it does for me, your mind will finally settle into just a state of praying, right? Church, I encourage you, if you don't already have a regular time of prayer in your day, today, this afternoon, when you get home, to sit down at a table, sit down in your recliner, whatever it may be, kind of schedule out your day. You know what you do on a daily routine. And just say, "I'm going to make time right here every single day to come before the Lord and pray." Again, it could be in the morning. It could be at night right before you go to sleep. It could be in the middle of the day. It doesn't really matter. Just take the time to find a time to pray. Because prayer is expected of us as Christians. But not only find a time to pray, find a dedicated place to pray in secret. This leads us to our second instruction: pray in secret. Pray in secret. Jesus in verses 5 and 6 says this: "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus here is pointing to a bad example of prayer and simply says, don't pray like them. Don't be like them. You know how you tell your kids, hey, don't act like that kid, right? Jesus is saying, don't act like them. Don't pray like them. Don't be like them. These hypocrites, as Jesus called them, were praying to God and hypocritically praying for show, right? They would go to the synagogues, they would go to the street corners, and they would stand up, and as verse 7 says, they were praying out loud for all to hear. They wanted people to see them. They wanted people to see them and go, wow, how holy they are. Right? How great are they at praying to the Lord? When in turn what they were doing wasn't holy at all. It was a show. It was a performance. It was an act. There was nothing holy about what they were doing. Sometimes I think we too can fall into this unholy praying life. We sit down at a restaurant, and instead of praying out of gratitude of our heart for the blessing of food, we instead pray so that others can see how much holier we are than they are because they didn't pray. Or we pray as loud as we can for the people next to us to be able to hear us praying. Or sometimes I've heard people say, well, I like to pray before I eat because I hope that someone sees me pray and will ask me about what I'm doing or ask me about Jesus or ask me about the gospel. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not telling you to stop praying before your meal at a restaurant, so don't hear me say that. All I'm asking is to check your heart. Check your heart. Just think about it. And when you go to pray, is your prayer truly a prayer of gratitude? Or is this a prayer for others to see? For others to go and look at you and go, look at that person praying over there. Look how great they are. Or is it truly just a prayer of thankfulness? Church, the same can happen here in these very walls of this building. When we have public prayer in Sunday school or public prayer even here in the service, right? When you find yourself praying to impress honor, when you find yourself praying to impress others, you are praying as a hypocrite, Jesus says. And if I'm honest, this is something that I must battle against every single Sunday. I can either stand up here and pray a prayer that sounds extremely impressive and makes every single one of you feel like second-rate prayers, right? You ever heard someone do that? You ever felt that way sitting where you're sitting? The pastor is praying or a teacher is praying, and the way that they prayed was so impressive and so enthusiastic and just so wonderful that you felt like, I would never be able to pray like that. Now, I'm not saying that pastor or that preacher had that motive behind his prayer or anything like that, but it's something that we have to fight against. We have to check our hearts against. Our heart posture and prayer matters. Which is why Jesus tells them in verse 6 that when they pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to the Father in secret. Why? Because when you have no one standing around you to hear your prayers, you don't pray for show, you don't pray to be impressive, and you don't pray to sound good. You pray an honest prayer. With an honest heart. But there's also a second benefit to this. When you go into your room or your closet, as the KJV says, you rid yourself of all distractions, right? Now you have to remember who Jesus is telling this to. Jesus is talking to his disciples when he's saying, go into your room to pray. And when you begin to think about this, he's teaching people of his time to go to their room. And in their room, you know what they didn't have? They didn't have a TV. They didn't have books sitting on the nightstand. They may have had a bed laying there, something like that. They may have had some other things, but they didn't have a smartphone sitting beside them. They didn't have a laptop that they could pull up and sit in their lap. They didn't have this. They didn't have that. They didn't have all the distractions that we have in our bedrooms, right? They had a place to sleep and maybe a few clothes. So when they went in their room, guess what? There were no distractions. One of the reasons we find it so hard to pray is because we are distracted by so many things. You sit at the kitchen table, start to pray, and you're distracted by the dirty dishes. You're distracted by the floor needing to be swept, the ice dropping in the ice maker, right? You sit in your living room and you're distracted by your TV, the latest book or magazine you're reading, your dog laying in your lap, the spouse sitting across the room from you, beside you, distracted by your laptop or your computer. You go to your room and there's so much to be distracted by there. And this just means that we must find a place in our homes or outside our homes or somewhere where we can just sit and be distract free. Find a place in secret where you have the right heart posture with limited distractions around you so you can go to the Lord and focus as you pray to Him, as you talk to Him. I'm reminded of Jesus and how often He went to pray in secret. Jesus can be healing somebody, right? He just fed the 5,000, I think, at one point in time. He tells the disciples to go on to the other side. And you know what Jesus does? He goes to the wilderness or to the mountain or to a secluded place. And you know what He does? He prays. If Jesus can take time out of His busy day of healing people, preaching the gospel, saving lives, and everything else He did whenever He walked here on earth, guess what? We can too. We can too. And we should find our wilderness. We should find our desolate place. We should find our mountain to just simply go and pray. Jesus didn't want to be a hypocrite and pray for show. He wanted to remove all the distractions from His life, so He could very intentionally pray to the Father. And that leads us to our next instruction on prayer. When we pray, may we be intentional about what we pray. May we pray with intention. In verse 7 and 8 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." I don't know about you, but if I go to prayer without a plan or without any intention on what to pray for, I will just start heaping up empty phrases. I will say this, and I'll say that, and I'll say this, and I'll say that, and before I know it, I'm saying the same thing, and the same thing, and the same thing again. I think we all tend to struggle with that to a certain degree, of where we just throw up empty phrases, just start saying the same thing over and over. When we don't have a plan, or when we don't have something intentional to pray for, we will just heap up those things. We'll just throw up. Our prayers will be diluted and repetitive and not very meaningful. And we will go on and on and on and on and on. Why? Because we think, here's what happens. Because we think that I have no purpose in what I'm praying here, at least God will hear something. Right? I'm just going to keep going because at least God's going to hear me saying something. At least God's going to think, oh, He's faithful. At least He's trying. At least He's doing something. At least He's talking to me. Right? Don't we get caught in that? At least God will know I'm praying. And what happens when we don't pray with intentionality is this. We don't pray for what we truly need. When we don't have intentionality to our prayers, we will pray for anything and everything under the sun. But when we have intentionality of what we are going to pray for, we pray for what we truly need. The point of verse 8 here. Do not be like them, for the Father knows what you need before you ask Him. You can read this verse and you go, what's the point? He already knows, right? What's the point? He already knows. But that is not the point here. Verse 8 isn't to make you feel like you can't ask God for what you need because He already knows. It's there to help you know that you can ask God for what you need. Why? Because He already knows you need it. Why would we want to pray to a God that isn't all-knowing? Why would we want to pray to a God that doesn't already know what we need? If you have to ask your God for something and He don't already know it, He's a very, very little God. I want to pray to a God that already knows what I need before I ask Him. Praise the Lord that we have a God that we can go to that already knows what we need before we even ask Him. Verse 8 is there because it teaches us to pray with intentionality as we deeply pray for the things we need rather than the things we want, the things that we desire, the things that we just throw up there just to be thrown up there. To further demonstrate that we should pray with intentionality, Jesus goes on in verses 9 through 13 and teaches us how to pray. Pray then like this, He says. Now we'll talk more about this next week in the Lord's Prayer. We'll talk about how we should pray and all those good things. But the point is this. We are to come to the Lord with intentions. Maybe when you come to the Lord, your intention is just to sit there because you don't have anything to pray for. You are hurt. You are banged up. You are bruised. You don't know what to say. Tragedy has struck. You don't feel like the Lord's even listening. Maybe what's intentional for you is just to sit there in silence and let the Holy Spirit pray for you. But you go there with intentionality. Every godly prayer recorded in the Bible is a prayer with intentions. There's a heart. And there is meaning behind every single word of those prayers. Church, when you take the time to pray, take a moment before you pray. Collect your thoughts. Think about your needs, the true needs that you need. Write them down even. Think about your prayer requests that you may know of throughout the church or for your own self or for your friends, for your family, and go to the Lord with intentionality. Go to the Lord with a plan and with a purpose. And as you do, you will not heap up empty phrases, but you will instead find yourself praying deeply to the Father. In our sermon today, we have seen three instructions on prayer. Prayer is expected, pray in secret, and pray with intention. Church, as I was reflecting on prayer the other night, it came to me that the very reason we can pray at all is because Jesus has died on the cross and paid it all. The very reason that we can pray is because Jesus is our great high priest, as we learned in the book of Hebrews, right? The very reason that we can go to the Father is because Jesus is sitting there making intercession for His people. The very reason we can go to the Lord with the boldness is because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we believed. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins and salvation. Because we're washed in the blood, covered by His blood. Because Jesus is there making intercession for us, we can pray. Therefore, prayer is a beautiful picture of the gospel of Jesus and the salvation we have in Christ. Because prayer is a reflection of the gospel. The gospel says you can't do it on your own. You need somebody else, right? You know what prayer is saying? Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Therefore, I'm coming to you to express the needs that I need. And I'm asking that you help me with those. Church, may we be devoted to prayer, because prayer is a reflection of the gospel of Jesus and the salvation we have in Christ. And if Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, could make time in His own busy life here on the earth to go somewhere in secret to pray, so too can we. It may just mean we got to turn the TV off. It may just mean we got to put our phone away. It may mean we have to get up a little earlier if our day is busy. It may mean we have to stay up a little later. It may mean we have to cut something out of our day to make time to pray. But may we do well in planning a time, finding a place, and going to the Lord with intentions, knowing that He already knows what we need. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to You right now, and we thank You so much for these instructions on prayer. God, I just pray today that we, as people, will find a place, or find a time, we'll find a place, and we will go to You with intentionality, Lord. And even if we don't feel like praying or don't want to pray or we are hurt and we're struggling, God, I pray that we will just go to You to the intentionality to just sit and listen. That we will go to You anyway. God, I just pray today that You will help us all to be a people that are devoted to praying for ourselves, for the people of this church, for this church to do Your will and Your glory, for this community, for ourselves to be bold in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. And God, we thank You so much that prayer reminds us of the gospel and how Jesus paid it all so we can have life. Dear God, we just pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.